You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
A murder case is never just about what happened. It's about what can be proven in court. In the case of Stephon Stearns, accused of murdering 13-year-old Maddie Soto and facing 60 additional child sex crime charges, the legal chess game is already in full swing. The defense is fighting to suppress key evidence, while prosecutors push for the death penalty. With a two-trial strategy in play, the case raises huge questions about what evidence gets in, what doesn't, and how both sides are positioning their arguments. Joining us today, attorney and former prosecutor Eric Fattis, who knows exactly how these legal battles unfold. Eric, and we're looking at the defense strategy here, trying to suppress the cell phone and the Google search data. I mean, how strong is that argument, and what sort of challenges do prosecutors face in keeping that evidence in play in a case like this that on the surface does kind of feel kind of open and shut?
You know, I do think the cell phone evidence is really valuable to the prosecution, and I think they went about it in not the best way. You know, really the standard for downloading a cell phone, even if you have consent, is to kind of put on your suspenders and your belt and get a search warrant. Prosecution didn't do that. They relied on what they believed to be valid consent. Defense is kind of saying, hey, it wasn't full consent to download the entire phone. I've read kind of the colloquy. So there is some risk to the prosecution on this, but my apprehension is that it's not going to make this go away for Stephon Stearns.
Is it going to matter when they found, I mean, obviously we're kind of getting cart before the horse here. Does it matter when you have found what they found on the cell phone? I mean, you found him with images, with Maddie, sexual. Is a court really going to care if somebody did the steps in that right process?
You know, the court should certainly care. And it's critically important, even in the most apparently heinous of cases, to ensure that the Constitution is abided by. But that being said, judges are human beings, and this is a very serious, these allegations are grave and terrible. And so could a judge see that, and could that influence how a judge analyzes a legal issue? Of course, happens every day.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. You got to follow the Constitution. You got to follow the rules of law and all this. It's comes down to, though, they had other data before they looked at his cell phone. They had the video. They had a lot of, you know, reasonable suspicion here to think that he may have something to do, not necessarily with the sexual abuse of Maddie, because we didn't even know that at the time, but we knew about him saying he dropped her off and the alibi doesn't add up, the video doesn't add up, nothing adds up. Is that not enough reason to be able to look at the cell phone, or at what point do you need the warrant to jump in there and do that when you have reasonable suspicion that this person killed somebody?
You know, it's a really important question, because what the government needs is probable cause to believe that there's evidence of that on a cell phone. So what's the basis for that? You know, if Svan Stern did an interview and he said, hey, I was texting back and forth with the victim, you know, the day that she disappeared, then certainly that's enough to get into the phone. But they've got to identify a nexus between the alleged crime committed and the phone itself. What role did the phone play? That's the inquiry the judge is going to be looking at when analyzing this motion to suppress that cell phone evidence.
Would there be anything that would have stopped anyone from allowing them to look at the phone had they taken that step in the correct order? I mean, I don't really see anything where it's like, no, you can't look at that. Obviously, they probably would have approved whatever with a warrant. But again, yeah, I mean, it does matter that things are done in correct orders, because we've seen people walk that are clearly guilty because of technical things like this.
Exactly. It's kind of, it could be the quintessential example of someone getting off on a technicality if such evidence was suppressed. And on top of that, the government did have consent. So what we're talking about is the Fourth Amendment, and defense is saying this is an unreasonable search of my client's phone. But if the client said it's cool, is that really unreasonable? I think the judge is going to look closely at that consent issue as well.
Let's go back to the other big elephant in the room in the case of Maddie Soto and Stefan Stearns, and that's Jen Soto, her mom, who has now said that she believes that Stearns is a master liar. And from what we can glean, she believes that he did this. At the beginning, she seemed to be very much sticking up for him, kind of being on his side. Is she a victim in all of this as well? Is she someone who was literally brainwashed by Stefan, maybe not have the most intelligence there to not see that coming, and just didn't, like, legitimately didn't see what was going on in front of her?
It certainly could be. When you look at Stefan Stearns, what he's accused of, the evidence supporting those accusations, you know, you've got to be kind of have the capacity to manipulate at a higher level than most people have to be able to pull something like this off. And so that's certainly a possibility. But she, as you know, during some of the initial interviews, presented in a pretty odd fashion, in a way that seems super suspicious to many folks. And so it could be that she's a victim. It could be that she is getting legally savvy and knows that this is the way to protect herself by ganging up against Stefan.
Why haven't we seen any charges against her as of now? She's never been charged, not saying she's guilty of anything, but obviously she played a role in this in terms of being in the circle of this insanity that was going on, saying, yeah, go ahead, sleep with my daughter. Not necessarily saying, go have sex with my daughter, but saying, or rape my daughter, but it's saying, yeah, go ahead, go, you guys can cuddle up and do whatever, because that's what calms her down in her mind. I am shocked that there has been no charges there, or is this part of it where she's helping them out and she really is just that ignorant and now she's going to be able to do what she can to help take him down and maybe others as well, because we'll talk about that other part in a second, but go over with that one.
In Colorado, where I practice, and I imagine the laws are similar there, there are a number of crimes with which she could have been charged, I think. You know, recklessly or even negligently creating an environment, contributing to an environment in which a child is likely to be harmed constitutes child abuse. Being deceptive in police interviews and saying things that are demonstrably untrue, that are proven untrue by objective evidence, that's false reporting and potentially attempting to influence a public servant. So I think the government had some cards they could have played against Jen, and I wonder if that pressure contributed to Jen converting herself into a government witness to protect herself.
Is there any, and let's assume for a second here that that she isn't a government witness. I don't know. We don't know exactly what her role has been in this. Is there any advantage to going after Stefan, letting those two cases play out, the child sex charges and then the murder charges as well in two different cases, really? Is there any advantage to letting that play out and then making a charge against her?
You know, usually the government would do it in the opposite sequence. They would try to go after whom they think are less culpable folks, either convict them or turn them into witnesses, and then go after the head honcho, the person who they believe committed the murder. This would be the reverse of that. It would be an unusual way to go about it, but certainly if they wanted to rope in everyone whom they thought was responsible, it'd be a permissible way of doing it.
It does make me wonder a little bit. We said this early on. Are there going to be other people involved? Because birds of a feather they stick together. And it does make you wonder, was he sharing these images or doing something and whatever people like that do to share them with each other? Because now in recent days, I believe, I don't have the notes in front of me, but I did read the headline earlier. I believe it was a music teacher or one of the teachers that Maddie had has now also, or is now facing child sex crime charges as well. And I'm wondering if the two are connected in some way, shape, or form, if somehow the information on Stefan Stern's phone has led them down that path.
What I can tell you, as a former prosecutor in the Special Victims Unit, especially when it comes to child pornography, it's not usually just like one person who is the bad actor and responsible and they have all the photos or whatever. It is a ring of individuals who are actively sharing this these images and this content amongst each other, usually in sort of clandestine electronic channels. And so once one person is uncovered, the police begin to look at, is there a larger web here? Is there something broader going on? And I think that is surely what is being investigated right now.
It certainly does make you wonder, and it's not to say like there couldn't be another sexual predator in the area. We know how this is. They're out there and not necessarily all connected. When you see that, do geographics play a role in that, or is it kind of like anywhere and everywhere these people could be that they tend to communicate with?
You know, with the advances in modern technology, in encryption, in sort of, secret, private online activity. We think about things like the dark web and Silk Road and that kind of thing. It is really lifted that proximity requirement. It used to be, you know, people in a certain locale might be involved in criminal dealings and working together and exchanging information and content, whatever else. Now that can happen internationally. And so while it is significant if there is a proximal connection, it's not required in order to pursue crimes like this.
Want to stay on top of the latest true crime cases? Press subscribe now and never miss a breaking update from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.